We are working on our public accommodation and discrimination bill, which is kind of this old antiquated concept, you know, that is in a statutory section consistent with other, these other kind of antiquated concepts as well. And the question is, should we update those definitions associated with that or not? And what type of definitions should we include?
Old and antiquated ideas. I wonder which ones she's talking about. Actually, it's not just her, it's an entire committee. Allow me to let you in on their little secret.
I mean, this original statute was drafted sometime in the 50s, if I'm correct. And we have some sort of archaic language. And being someone in victim services, which is my main hat, I'm not sure how I respond to someone denied the right to life. Well, life is pretty self-explanatory, but liberty, the pursuit of happiness, or the necessities of life. What bias or discrimination? I was just wondering if the committee has thought of maybe zhuzhing up the language to maybe be more modern.
Zhuzh up the language a little bit. Well, the lady you just heard is from the Wyoming Attorney General's office. And of course, we started out the episode with good old Slithers. I mean, State Senator Tara Nethercott. So that old, archaic, and antiquated statute they were talking about is Wyoming 69102. Let me read it to you. Quote, "No person shall be denied the right to life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, or the necessities of life because of race, color, sex, creed, or national origin." What terrible phraseology. Kind of makes you wonder what they think of this. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Yeah, that one's a little old, too. We probably should get rid of it while we're at it. Wouldn't you say, Slithers? Not so much. Well, good morning, my friends, and welcome to another satiating episode. From high above all other imbecilic forms of Wyoming mainstream media, this is Cowboy State Politics. I, of course, am your illustrious host, David Iverson, broadcasting to you from the base of the Bighorns in beautiful Buffalo, Wyoming. Now, before I tell you what all of this is about, some totally egregious self-promotion. You can listen to the podcast on any of your favorite podcasting apps, iHeartRadio, Apple iTunes, really any of them will work. But the easiest way is just go to the website, cowboystatepolitics.com. There you can find all of the shows as well as any of the articles that I might bring up during a course of the program. So if your name is Sleepy Joe Biden or Slithers and you don't have a clue what's going on, well, you can go to cowboystatepolitics.com and pull up an article and educate yourself, just like you should have been doing all along, but didn't. This Saturday, September 25th, in Casper, Wyoming, at the Gaslight Social from 2 to 6 p.m., there's a really important event to attend. It's a Patriot Roundup. It's designed to get communities organized in defense of our Constitution, uniting all the small Patriot groups and the lone wolves that are all over the place to give us all a positive, common direction to move in. This is a veteran-led effort, but all Patriots are welcome. The goal is to organize at the state, county, town, and neighborhood levels for mutual aid, mutual defense, and in support of our constitutional sheriffs and local law enforcement officers. So you don't want to miss it. September 25th in Casper, Wyoming at the Gaslight Social from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. And I've been told they'll have an open bar until 10. So if you're anywhere around Casper, Wyoming on Saturday the 25th, you definitely don't want to miss that event. So what's up with all this zhuzhing up of the old language? Well, the Judiciary Committee is talking about that silly hate crime bill again. You remember, the one that produced this old classic?
Since there aren't any anti-hate crime laws, they are very limited. Wyoming is one of three states that has no anti-hate crime laws. You would think a lynching that happened in this state would be the reason that an anti-hate crime bill was passed, but no. This state has a history of racism and hate crime. Do you want this state to always be remembered by those same events that took place? It is 2021. It is time we change the state. How many times do we have to sit here and wait for you to do something to protect us legislation-wise? You always push it away because you are biased by being mostly white. and not accepting the fact that these laws weren't meant for you to ever ignore. We are tired of being ignored and pushed out because it doesn't fit your agenda. You are elected by the people to serve the people. We are the people. Why do you people of color have to depend on white people to be protected? Why do we have to face our oppressors to be protected? Why do we have to beg to be protected? At this point, we might as well start calling all of y'all masses.
Yeah, and that was the calm part. Now, that piece of audio comes from a House Judiciary Committee hearing back in March, and I posted a link to the whole hearing, should you want to watch it, at cowboystatepolitics.com. But if you listen carefully to what she has to say, hate crime bills have nothing to do with crime. They have everything to do about entrenching differences between people in Wyoming law. Fast forward all the way to last week at the Joint Judiciary Committee hearing. Here's exactly what they were talking about doing. I'll play the soundbite for you, and then we'll talk about it. And again, this is the representative from the Wyoming Attorney General's office.
My specific suggestion is actually on page 2, line 1, and it would begin after because of, strike the remainder of that line and line 2 and insert, I guess we'd have to finesse this a bit, but what I'd like to do is cite the federal statute, which is 18 U.S. Code section 249. And that way, if anything ever changes, we don't have to mess with this. We don't need to debate the staff comment on creed versus religion. It would just be all encompassed under the federal hate crime law. And so I wanted to present that to the committee, if that makes sense.
So what she's suggesting is replacing the words race, color, sex, creed, or national origin that exist in 69102 with the following, which are currently in Federal Statute 18 U.S.C. 249, which reads, offenses involving actual or perceived religion, national origin, gender, sexual orientation, gender identity, or disability. Now, the first problem with this is wisely brought up by Senator Kolb. Here he is.
Yeah, just clarification. So now are we back to actual or perceived? Well, I'll just say I absolutely think that it's a perilous road we take when we talk about perceived. I think it becomes an arbitrary and capricious thought that is basically undefendable by someone trying to defend themselves. I mean, how can you have anything to say about it because someone perceives something? So it's merely a feeling. It's a conveyance of a feeling. And I think that is the peril I see here with this. We subject people to a law that's, frankly, I'll use a word, squishy. And how do you defend yourself from that?
Indeed. Including the federal statute means that anybody could perceive of a crime without ever having it proved. And there's no way to defend yourself against that. So it's the first part of the argument that hate crimes actually do not exist. They are perceived, which is exactly what 18 U.S.C. 249 says they are. But we're not quite to the end of this argument yet. Here's the representative from the Attorney General's office again. Now listen very closely to what she says about the nature of these crimes and where they occur. And of course, she mentions those pesky terms, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness again.
Madam Chair, so that sort of relates back to my comment of this whole life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, and the necessities of life. What I did do is I went back, and the most recent FBI stats on bias-motivated crimes were actually the 2019 report. And the majority of bias incidents were actually on the basis of race.
So often, the truth is revealed with what people don't say. You'll notice that she didn't utter the term Wyoming. It's because the statistics that they're working off of come from the FBI. That is, the United States. Now, when's the last time you heard of one of these bias-motivated crimes in Wyoming? I mean, really, we don't pass laws for individual incidents. Rather, there has to be an impetus by which we need to pass a law and change our code. And secondly, we have to demonstrate that the laws that are currently on the books do not cover those specific instances. In Wyoming, they most definitely do, but I'll get to that in just a second. First, in this next soundbite, we find out what the real intent of these hate crime laws are. And it's not because we have an epidemic of hate crimes or what the cool kids are calling biased-motivated crimes. In fact, it's kind of the reverse. So here's the real motivation. Take a load of this.
I mean, let's acknowledge first and foremost that one of the reasons this bill is being championed is because we have been on a perceived naughty list for some time as being one of now maybe only two states without recognized hate crime laws. And so one of the things that you're trying to do here is make sure that Wyoming is acknowledged to have a state statute that addresses hate crime laws. So yes, they are inclusive, you know, are trying to signal something. And again, when I mentioned those very broad categories of life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, and the necessities of life, that's, I mean, if you could tell me what that encompasses, that'd be great.
Oh, don't worry. I will, but not quite yet. Here's Representative Washut from House District 36 to kind of finish off this idea of the real reason why we're talking about bias-motivated crimes in the Joint Judiciary Committee.
I guess I'm struggling now with the whole premise that was brought to us, and we heard a couple of hours of testimony about people being fearful and about the legacy of a murder that took place many years ago, and how Wyoming need to rectify that by passing a hate crimes bill. And other than being able to say, yes, now we have a hate crimes bill that makes a hate crime a misdemeanor in Wyoming, I don't know where this satisfies any of those initial premises, you know, that people were fearful, they couldn't walk down the street holding hands, they were all these things, and I don't know that we gain the solution to the complaint about Wyoming not having a hate crimes law. And so to pass this law just so we can say, yep, we got one, check the box, I still think we're going to be subject to all of the same criticisms that we're subject to now if we pass this. And so it just seems to me to be symbolism over substance.
Bingo! It's only symbolism, just to check a box and say, yep, we got that one. So it's virtue signaling. That's all this thing is. We'll get back to exposing redcoats here in just a second, but first, a totally obscene profit timeout. Cowboy State Politics is brought to you by Morton Buildings Lessons in Classic Values. Lesson number 5, warmth. You know what they say, gentlemen, happy wife, happy life. And nothing will tick them off more than being subjected to the outside elements when they ought to be subjected to the inside ones. And worse yet, of course, is if the livestock have to put up with the outside elements when they're actually sitting inside. Morton Buildings suggests the Morton Advantage. They utilize a full blanket of insulation from column to column and from below floor level to the ceiling, eliminating cold spots in the wall. This is really important if you're trying to keep your livestock all nice and warm and cuddly, and also not tick off your wife. So gentlemen, get on the ball, give Nick and Jesse a call at 307-674-2532, or you can check them out on their website at mortonbuildings.com. This has been Morton Buildings Lessons in Classic Values on Cowboy State Politics. Another event, if you happen to be in Casper on Saturday the 25th, Liberty's Place for You is hosting a town hall at the Ramcota Hotel from 5:30 to 7:30. And the topic of the town hall is who will comply with vaccine mandates. So if you happen to be in Casper on Saturday, you might want to check that one out. You know what I could really go for right now? Hot wings. Wing it, hot wings. In fact, if you're looking for some yummy, yummy hot wings, well, you need to check out the Wing It food truck. And today, they'll be in Rock Springs, Wyoming from 11 to 7. Tomorrow, they'll be in Green River from 11 to 7. And on Saturday, the 25th, they'll be in Pinedale. So if you want some hot wings that are super, super yummy, well, you need to check out Wing It food truck. And now, back to the program. But to put this whole argument to bed, here is former Representative Sarah Burlingame. And if you don't know who that is, she's the head of Wyoming Equality, Wyoming's leading LGBTQ advocacy group, who's also funded by George Soros, by the way. But in this soundbite, she unknowingly proves the opposite of what her argument is meant to do.
But they're gay men in the middle of Wyoming. And their first concern was what law enforcement is going to come. How will I be received? It turns out that we were on the Albany County side of the line, and the Albany County sheriffs came out. They could not have been more professional. They could not have been more understanding. They could not have done a more professional job in handling it. But the fact was that those men had terror over doing a good deed, a great deed. And it shouldn't be like that, right? Like, we should have uniformity. We should be all confident that our taxpayer dollars are going to pay agencies that will support us and not parse out which part of our humanity, which part of our identity is acceptable or not.
Well, it would appear from the story that she related that that's exactly what she got, is law enforcement officers that were there to serve Wyoming citizens. That's it. So in reality, what a hate crime bill does is it gives special privileges and rights to different groups over and above what other groups get. So just because you happen to be gay or you happen to be black or Hispanic or whatever, you get special rights as opposed to those folks who are just white. And it can't really be said any clearer than that. So to finish off this whole thing, the reason why we don't need a hate crimes law in the state of Wyoming, we have to go back to State Statute 69-102. Let me repeat that one for you one more time. No person shall be denied the right to life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, or the necessities of life because of race, color, sex, creed, or national origin. Now, those terms are left intentionally broad so that they comport with the Wyoming Constitution. And for all of the protestations of the people on the left, Wyoming really is the equality state. Our whole Constitution is littered with things that create equality. For example, Article 1, Section 2. In their inherent right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, all members of the human race are equal. Article 1, Section 3. Since equality in the enjoyment of natural and civil rights is only made sure through political equality, the laws of this state affecting the political rights and privileges of its citizens shall be without distinction of race, color, sex, or any circumstance or condition whatsoever other than individual incompetency or unworthiness duly ascertained by a court of competent jurisdiction. And my personal favorite, Article 1, Section 7. Absolute arbitrary power over the lives, liberty, and property of free men exists nowhere in a republic, not even in the largest majority. And what that one means is that it doesn't matter how loud the voices of the other side are. In Wyoming, we still respect the voices of the minority. So the language of our state statutes and our Constitution are not archaic and outdated, as State Senator Tara Nethercott claims that they are. They're written that way on purpose, so that everyone is equal in the state of Wyoming, without regard to what they look like or the choices that they made. Every single man, woman, and child in this state has the same equal rights. Now, fortunately for us, the Joint Judiciary Committee voted down the two hate crime bills that were before them last week, as well they should have. But this is a perennial topic, and it's one that the left really favors, because it gives them exclusive rights to particular groups. Even though this one's been put to bed for this session, don't expect it to stay there for long. In our next story, two of my favorite topics, things that go boom and redcoats. Perhaps you've seen a particular Facebook ad floating around from Senator Dave Kinski, and it purports that he is the ultimate defender of the Second Amendment. Now, the ad is just a picture of him sitting at a shooting bench, probably at some range somewhere, firing a rifle. And it says Dave Kinski is fighting the big city liberals and Washington bureaucrats who are trying to take away our firearm freedoms. And then in the picture it says conservative Republican Dave Kinski, our proud Second Amendment champion. And that's it. So the viewer is led to believe that just because the good senator owns a gun and shoots it, that he supports the Second Amendment. Well, the same could be true for the guy that runs the Wyoming Sheriff's Association. I'm sure that he owns several firearms and probably shoots them, and yet he's been against every pro-gun bill in the last 20 years. So, talk about truth in advertising. The question arises, though, is Dave Kinski opposed to everything these Washington bureaucrats are doing to us? And the answer really is no. Now, let me set the stage for you. What we're talking about is Senate File 81, the Second Amendment Preservation Act that failed in the Wyoming legislature during the past legislative session. The bill's sponsor, Senator Anthony Bouchard, had amended his own bill to address all of the concerns of the Wyoming Sheriff's Association. I'm going to play a clip for you in which you'll hear both Senator Bouchard talking about a date that was listed in his amended Second Amendment Preservation Act. And then you'll hear Senator Dave Kinski telling you why we ought not vote for that bill, and in fact, we should amend it to a whole bunch of other bureaucratic nonsense. Now, it might seem like political minutiae, but it's really not. Dates are very important, because what gun-grabbing liberals try to do is amend existing legislation and add other things into it, because these gun-grabbing redcoats know that it's virtually impossible to pass new gun regulations in the United States Congress. So what they do is they just amend old ones and add new stuff to it. All the time you hear about different components or different parts of a gun being added to the National Firearms Act so that they could be regulated. The last one you heard about was bump stocks, which, I'll tell you, President Trump really didn't do us any favor on that one. And any gun owner will tell you that bump stocks really aren't an efficient accessory to any firearm and they don't improve accuracy, and really they're just a toy. But the reason I say that President Trump didn't do us any good with that one, because it added just one more thing related to firearms that can be regulated by the federal government. An inch at a time, that's how all these redcoats operate. Okay, back to Senator Dave Kinski. So what they were talking about on the floor of the Wyoming State Senate is an amendment that had been proposed to the Senate File 81. And essentially what they did is gut the entire bill and took the power out of your hands, that is, the Wyoming citizen, and placed it in the hands of the executive branch, the Attorney General and the Governor of Wyoming. Awesome, huh? So in this clip, you'll hear Anthony Bouchard talking about the date that was installed in his bill, and Dave Kinski tells you how, oh, no, we can't have a date because, you know, the federal government might want to amend one of these federal firearms acts, and, well, then that would create a problem in Wyoming law. It would have to ignore that stuff. But anyway, have a listen.
Senator Bouchard.
Thank you, Mr. President. That would be a good argument if we were talking about some other bill. This bill has a date stamp on it. It's very specific on laws in the future. I've explained to everyone in this room that the process of all the bills that are, that the laws that are in place are based on 1934, 1968, 1985. The push that's coming out of the federal government going to be after April 1st. All of the arguments that were just given, that somebody's going to be put at risk. This bill doesn't challenge the stuff that's already there on the books. It only challenges what's going forward. And quite frankly, the language in the bill, even before the date stamp, was very specific about chilling effect doctrine. That's what this bill was about. With the date stamp, that makes that even more of a solid bill to safeguard of anything happening. So I reject that the problems that were just mentioned. I reject that those problems are in this bill.
Thank you, Mr. President. For my second time on the First Division, I want to respond respectfully to my friend, the sponsor, and try to clarify for folks here again the point that was made by the Appropriations Chair. There can be a law on the books, for instance, the Robinson-Patman Act, which is a tax on ammunition that helps do a lot of wildlife promotion within the state of Wyoming. A tax actually that was promoted by and lobbied through Congress by sportsmen. And so if there is a change to that, if there is an amendment to that in 2022, effectively Congress amends that law. Now, the question is that since that's something that happens after the enactment of the unamended bill, is that a law that's enacted by Congress that we are to disregard? And that's the point the Appropriations Chair is making. Effectively, by amending and republishing that law, it now puts itself beyond that date that the sponsor is talking about. Any amendments to the National Firearms Act, any amendment to any firearm law at the federal government level could bring into question whether the entire law. And so the evil that the sponsor is trying to avoid by having this fixed date after which his bill purports to take effect does not account for the fact that these laws could be amended or updated, perhaps in a way that's constitutional, perhaps in a way that's not, but they would, we are declaring here that we would ignore them all, and the cop on the street is instructed to refuse to enforce them all. So with all due respect, I just want to make sure everybody here understands what is a very compelling argument that the appropriations chair makes, which is when these laws are amended and updated, it throws them all into question. So effectively, every federal law, the law enforcement personnel may be at risk for running afoul of any number of federal laws as time goes on.
Exactly right. Because what the federal government does is they amend current law to put more restrictions on your Second Amendment freedoms. And what Senator Dave Kinski is arguing here is that we ought not pass a Second Amendment Preservation Act because it protects your freedoms as a United States and Wyoming gun owner. That is what he's opposed to. And in the end, what Senator Dave Kinski did is voted to gut the Second Amendment Preservation Act and take the power out of your hands as a Wyoming gun owner and put it back in the hands of the state, the Wyoming Attorney General, and the Wyoming Governor. Let me just ask you something. According to their amendment that Second Amendment defender Dave Kinski voted for, if a federal mandate comes out of Sleepy Joe's administration that all of us know is unconstitutional, then 25 of us can get together and sign a petition and send it to the Attorney General, and she has 30 days to decide whether or not it's constitutional and make a recommendation to the governor, and then the governor has 30 days to make a recommendation as to whether or not it's constitutional, and then he issues an executive order and sends it out to the municipalities to enforce or not enforce said federal mandate. How long do you think all of that is going to take? Probably long enough for you not to have your guns anymore. So after all of this, is Senator Dave Kinski, quote, our proud Second Amendment champion? Nope. Straight up redcoat. So when we're talking about essential liberties, which is what this whole episode is about, you really have to listen to what these red-coated politicians are saying. Many times, they're going to advertise things that just aren't true. And it's incumbent upon us to investigate whether or not what they're saying is the truth. Because a lot of times, it's not. And in the case of Senator Dave Kinski, it is so far off the mark, it's not even funny. So, Senator, the next time you're approached and asked a specific question about the Second Amendment, maybe you ought to think about telling the truth to your constituents. Just a thought. I've posted all of this at cowboystatepolitics.com so that you can check it out for yourself. Don't forget about the Cowboy State Politics Facebook page. Like it, share it, tell everybody you know about it. Of course, I'll post all of the episodes there, as well as any articles I find during the course of a week that I think you might be interested in. So make sure you check that out. But for now, defending liberty, the truth, and the Second Amendment. From the base of the Bighorns in beautiful Buffalo, Wyoming, I'm David Iverson, and this is Cowboy State Politics.